This week on One Crazy Story, my friend Scott Martinelli joins us to talk about his last day of college.
So I'm smoking a cigarette and I go up to the security guard. He's like, dude, you are not coming in here. I was so intoxicated that I was like completely reasonable. I was like, dude, that is so fair.
I completely understand.
I can totally see why you wouldn't let me in your establishment right now. This particular incident happened in December of 2014. I had just spent the last 4.5 years working very diligently in, gaining a college degree and mm-hmm. things like that. Homework, work, had a lot of Joe jobs, lots of hair nets.
Oh,
lived like a baller for 4 years. I don't think I ever had more than like $100 in my bank account for 4.5 years. It's fucking terrible, actually. Yeah. It's awful.
Yeah.
I don't get the whole mystique it's fucking terrible. It's really stressful. Which maybe it's not because I don't have any context in the rest of my life. Life probably gets way more stressful, but you know, as far as what I know.
Yeah, so far, up to this point, it was awful.
I mean, you know, it's just like other shitty parts of your life. You'll have fun at night, but during the day, your life sucks.
Yeah.
So today, this day was my last day of college.
Okay.
So I woke up in the morning and I took a test. I think it was like a finance test or something like that. And I did really poorly. I did very poorly. So I just wanted to go and like have some drinks. Mm-hmm. So
celebrate.
Man, this is probably like 10 in the morning.
Like you went out at 10
so
in the morning?
So yeah.
Nice. What's the last day of college? I mean
yeah.
You gotta celebrate.
To be completely fair, I was really excited. You know,
yeah.
Like,
it's like you're yeah, I mean like you're
it,
done.
It was a lot of work. And I'm not like the schoolwork is whatever. It's all the like having to work at night. That's the hard part.
You know,
like that whole balance. That's the tough part. But okay, so I leave my class at 10 a.m. I'm pretty fucking excited that I just did this. And so I go to liquor store. Liquor store's not open.
Oh. You know, it's a good start to the day when you can't even buy alcohol.
And it's like a good negative 10 degrees outside. This is December. So naturally, I wait outside of the liquor store for 30 minutes for it to open.
I don't have school today. Yeah. I'm literally done now. This is like you went right into it. Like, college, done.
Exactly.
Alcohol,
exactly.
Now.
But yeah, the guy let me in, and I was like, dude, my life is over. I have nothing to look forward to.
I just
and
finished
he was like,
college.
Come here, bro. I have comfort
you
for
work
you.
For me.
Yeah. Got a job on the spot. Fuck you, mom and dad. I got a job right out of college. I got a job sooner than all of my friends. Anyways, they do have the best hot dogs there, though.
Yeah, this liquor store? Did you have one at 10 a.m.?
No.
Don't lie to me.
They didn't have any on the roller yet.
Well, they don't really put them
usually
on the roller.
Usually what happens is the guy who shows up at 10:30 goes and buys a pint of vodka, drinks it in 15 minutes, comes back in half an hour, and eats all the hot dogs.
Okay.
So they were just about to put that guy's hot dogs
on. Well, you graduated just in time.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't even graduate yet, but you were done. You were done with
classes.
But
it's funny because I'm the guy who eats the hot dogs now. So I go in, and I planned this out for a little bit. I knew I was going to go right to the liquor store and... excuse me. You can see I've made lots of strides since then.
Yes. Yes, he's doing well.
So I go in the liquor store and I want a fucking bottle of champagne. And I'd actually never bought a bottle of champagne before. Come to find out it's not cheap. Even the cheap shit's
even
not
the
cheap.
Cheap shit's not cheap. Not for a college student.
Yeah, and yeah, to be fair, like I crawled my way to the finish line as far as finances go.
Yeah.
Like the last month or two of school, like I had dirt for dinner a couple months, so I asked the guy, I was like, what's your cheapest bottle of champagne? He's like, oh, it's like $14. I'm like, ugh. I just can't do that. And he's like, well, what's the occasion? I'm like, I just graduated. He's like, I'll give it to you for 10. And I was like,
you were just haggling.
All right.
You were haggling for a $10 bottle
of
champagne.
So I got a bottle of Andre for $10.
It's funny that you left a finance exam.
Yeah. Yeah. Come to find out, I'm not good at personal finance. So I go home. It's like 10:45 at this point, and I'm really hoping that there's a, cause I, at the time I lived in what's called a co-op. Okay. And it's this huge, gigantic house. And I had 28 roommates, girls and guys. And this place is a complete shithole.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a dump. I mean, you've seen it, right? It's,
yeah.
It's like, it's not fit for human life.
Yeah.
But yet at some point, like it, someone decided, like, we should put, like, more than 25 people in
as a structure.
To sleep
it
every
doesn't
night.
Make any yeah. sense, really. Yeah.
So, you know, we, like, had a fire and all this stuff, but, you know, good people
yeah.
for the most part. Lots of, like, probably some drug addicts and, like, people who probably won't do too great in life.
They'll be in a co-op for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, and that's yeah, yeah. that's what will end up happening. You know, I live, there's, like, some 35-year-olds. Nothing wrong with being 35, but it's... So I come home and like this, the environment of this house is very, let's just put it this way. I thought somebody was going to want to drink with me at 11 a.m.
Mm-hmm. And you would think that that would be pretty easy to accomplish.
Yeah. Yeah. So I go home and, nobody's up to drink. Nobody wants to hang out with me. Nobody's really happy that I graduated.
Nobody gives a shit.
I'm yelling and people are mad that I'm waking them up. So I go into my room and I drink this whole bottle of champagne by myself,
oh.
which is probably the saddest thing I've ever done on what should be one of the happiest days
so
of my
sad.
Early life. I'm not saying it doesn't get better than that, but
I
it
know.
Definitely gets better
than
that.
It was a low point.
Yeah.
It was a low point.
It was, yeah,
you
it
were
was,
thinking.
It was one of the worst 15 seconds of my life drinking that whole bottle of champagne. So I drank the whole bottle of champagne and I fell asleep. And I woke up maybe a couple hours later. Decided, all right,
yep.
we're going to try this again.
We're going
to
do
this one
more.
Go to the liquor store, get another bottle of champagne.
Did you go to the same liquor store?
Oh, yeah.
What did that guy say?
The guy said, you want some more Andre? And I said, yeah. He goes, $10 special. He didn't
Are
really
you
say,
kidding?
No, he didn't say that. But he did sell it to me for $10 again.
So so you talked him down $4, and
yeah.
then you go back.
And I go back, and I'm like, dude, I'm not paying full price ever again. Don't you know how business works?
You're
must
smart.
Be a business you, student, bro. I said, you're goddamn right I am.
So
I
bought, returned to the liquor store.
I actually had more money in my bank account than I let on to this guy. I had probably like $50. So
yeah.
I bought a bottle of champagne and a six-pack of Tall Boys Miller High Life. Because it's the only,
it's the
beer, that, it's the only
great,
beer that matters.
Yeah. It's the makings of a great last day of college.
Yeah. So I go home, and still, nobody wants to drink with me.
And what time is it by now? Is it afternoon? Early
this
afternoon?
This is like 2:30, 3 o'clock.
Okay.
It's around 2:30,
So college students probably usually...
Yeah, and this is like a Thursday. So like, you know, everyone in college is like, ooh, let's fucking get drunk. Mm-hmm. Plus everyone's parents are alcoholics, so they're mm-hmm. all drinking on Thursday too.
Exactly.
Coming to pick their kids up.
Yet nobody will drink with you.
Yet nobody will drink with me. Yeah.
And you have
I
a reason.
Have,
and you
I,
have a good reason to. Like, you're not, like, just being
yeah,
a piece of shit. Like, the one day you're probably justifiably drinking
exactly,
during the day.
Exactly. Let me preface it
nobody.
By saying this. And Nate may or may not be able to attest to this. I'm a pretty responsible guy.
Yeah.
I get my stuff done, right?
Yeah.
I don't just drink at 11:30.
No, you had a good reason. You had
a
good reason.
I had a good reason. I did well, relatively.
You were celebrating, man.
For how much I actually, you know, stuff that I probably shouldn't have been doing.
Which I think is ironic that nobody will join you in celebrating.
I know. I think it's like, you know, it's like one of those things in baseball that, you know, you hit a home run and then everyone in the clubhouse is like, we don't want to give this guy a high five. Either that or they're just like
yeah.
cripplingly racist.
Yeah.
They hate Latino people. I think everyone just thought the whole time that I was going to school, I think they just thought that I was Latino. So I get on the phone and I call a couple buddies that I lived in the dorms with my first year, and
yeah,
we had an apartment and blah, 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 and it's four dudes, and their names are John, Paul, George, and Ringo. Ironically enough, the names
That's
of
so
the four
crazy.
Beatles. Yeah, it's really weird. And they were the, you know, same age, they entered at the same time, and ironically enough, they all graduated that semester too. So we all took an extra semester.
Yeah.
You know? So I called them up and I said, what are you guys doing? They're like, nothing. We want to celebrate. You know, we just got this done, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, I got a bottle of champagne.
I already got the champagne
I got a
ready.
I've already drank an entire bottle of champagne. Mm-hmm. I got another one, you know.
Bottle
and,
of Dan?
And
it's not Don, it's Dan.
No, it was Andre. Yeah, it was Andre 3000 champagne, which is not good. So I go over their house and we start drinking.
And now it's like probably mid-afternoon?
It's getting to be about 5 o'clock.
Okay.
So we start drinking, and I drink another bottle of champagne. Which champagne, if you drink a bottle of champagne, you don't, I mean, you feel a little, it's not, yeah. It's a celebratory it's
cheap
drink.
Champagne.
It's, yeah, it's just, but then I start drinking the beers and there's a couple shots thrown in there. And then someone wants to go to Little Caesars, which I actually used to work at a Little Caesars. And
so you don't want to go there?
I had not eaten Little Caesars since I stopped working there.
Yeah.
And they convinced me to eat Little Caesars.
That's how drunk you were.
Yeah, so I got the, it was like a pretzel pizza, which goes against my credo 100%.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
No,
really.
I just don't mess with pizza like that. I think it's sinful.
Yeah.
It was good for what it did. So right now we're talking like it's coming around 8 o'clock. Everyone's feeling like real good.
Yeah, this is like the peak, and it's only 8.
Yeah,
this is like you guys are feeling great. You got a pretzel pizza in you.
This is where we should have been like, okay, let's calm down. Let's drink some water. Let's eat some raisins. Take a nap. We play some Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, and then fall asleep.
Go run around for a little bit and fall asleep. But someone breaks out some liquor, and we start drinking some liquor. And by this point, my whole six-pack of Tall Boys is gone and my two bottles of champagne. And then we start taking liquor shots. There's whiskey. There's tequila.
Oh, no.
So we all take probably about 5 or 6 shots by, I don't know, 10 o'clock. And then we decide to go through with the original plan, which was to go to the bar.
Now you go to the bar.
Now we go to the bar after so I'm wait. So two wait. Bottles of champagne, a six-pack of Tall Boys, so 12 beers,
oh
and about
my
five
God.
Or six shots of whiskey.
A full day of, literally a full day of drinking yeah. with a nap
and,
a pretzel pizza.
I already don't feel good.
Yeah.
But I'm just going
to
do it.
You know what? Let's go to the bar, fellas.
Let's go to the bar, which is a good 2 miles away.
Oh, no.
So we're walking.
And yeah, nobody's driving.
We're walking,
which is
and
good.
We brought booze with us, and we're sipping on it on the way, just so, you know. Because walking, you know.
You got to drink while you walk.
Yeah, you lose your intoxication. You lose all that poison in your body. It sweats out of your pores because your immune system is trying to save your life. So we get there, and it's 10:30, 11 at this point, and every single person that I was with felt like they needed to buy a round of shots for everybody.
Oh, my goodness.
So
which was like 5 people?
I'm with 4 people.
Okay.
And we get there, and there's a good 3 people that we know there. So they all buy a round. Mm. So I bought a round, and John, Paul, George, and Ringo bought a round.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's only like 12 o'clock at this point. And I'm going up to the DJ requesting Limp Bizkit. I requested Limp Bizkit like 4 times. I think he played it twice.
Did he really?
This guy knew me, though. Every single time I ever went in there, I requested Nookie by Limp Bizkit, and he always played it.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. I go, hey, you got any Limp? And he'd be like, dude, you know I have Limp Bizkit.
I wish I could have seen this. Because you had to have been
I was lit.
Completely
I was
obliterated.
Lit. Yeah, yeah. And it's one of those places that, like, the bathroom is, they don't have a door on the stall, but like I definitely shit in there a couple times. And the whole, it's not even that the bathroom doesn't have a stall door, it's that the entire, every square inch of bathroom is covered in urine.
Yeah.
The whole thing. So not only do you get to, like, if I wasn't completely intoxicated, it would be the most embarrassing moment of my life.
Yeah.
Sitting in a pile of piss and shitting in front of, like, some guy in a flat-billed hat and, like, a tank top.
Hey, how are you?
I just graduated.
I'm done with school.
I'm ready to make some real money. So, I don't know, maybe 7 shots at the bar. This, like I said, this is, like, at the point where it's completely irresponsible.
Yeah. Now it's, you guys should have probably, in retrospect, stopped at the pizza.
Yeah. But you kept going. I was already going to throw up after the pizza.
You kept going.
Yeah, I kept going. And so I go outside to smoke a cigarette. And I'm smoking a cigarette. And I was under the impression that everyone else was going to come outside and we were going to leave after that. So I'm smoking a cigarette and I finish. And I go up to the security guard. And like, hey, I need to get my friends. I think we're leaving. And he's like, dude, you are not coming in here. And I was like, I was so intoxicated that I was like completely reasonable. I was like, dude, that is so fair.
I completely understand.
I could totally see why you wouldn't let me in your establishment right now. And he was like, I need you to back up. I'm like, you got
it. Oh, wow. He didn't.
You got it. And I was like, while you're at it, you should probably go get those dudes because they shouldn't be in there either. And he was like, oh, really? I'm like, yeah. All those guys are smaller than me, too. So they come outside, and it's like negative 20 degrees outside. I'm like taking my shirt off, and like, you know, other dudes are like ripping their shirt off, and like, this is one of those times, like, we graduated in December, so like there's very few people graduating.
Yeah,
there's people just walking down the road.
You
like,
guys just
what
look. Yeah,
fuck?
nobody just knows you graduated.
Oh, this guy just graduated.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's just
this guy's crippling
shit.
Alcoholism.
It's Thursday.
I opened up the liquor store today. How many people get to say that? Everyone's always proud when they're like, I closed the bar down last night. Yeah?
Yeah.
I opened up the liquor store today. I bought champagne.
I was waiting right outside the door. I had a tent.
I wasn't
everything.
Even wearing a coat. So we leave, and we're real excited. And we're at this bar, and it's right across the street from campus. So I can't remember who it was. I think it was George Harrison who hatched the idea to do something that we always used to do when we were, like, in our earlier years when we lived on campus.
Oh, yeah, so the guys start feeling nostalgia?
Yeah, it was, like, a nostalgia, but it was, like, only something that we would do when we were in this state of mind. So we decided, let's go climb on top of the ice arena. It's completely ridiculous. And like the ice arena is a structure, but it's like it's built into ground.
Yeah.
So
it's like, yeah. So I mean, the roof comes up.
The roof.
Like, you could reach it.
Yeah. The roof is sloped, and the slope pretty much hits the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So you can pretty much get up onto the slope to get onto the roof with like two or three really simple climbing moves.
Simple climbing.
I mean, you don't have to be Chris Angel to get to the top of this.
Especially.
You don't have to be a drunk mind freak to get on top of Mun Ice Arena. So we get up there, and, you know, we're climbing on top of the roof, and everything's cool, and I get to the top of this roof, and I hadn't been there in, like, 3 years. I don't know why. It's just something that I thought I would never do again. I get up there, and I am so fucking excited. I lose my mind. I'm like, yeah! I didn't think I would react like that. It was very, like, animalistic. You know, it was very primal. I get up there, and I start running in circles around this ice arena.
On a
roof, like,
though.
Yeah, it's a big roof. I mean, it's like the size of a sheet of ice, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm running around, and I'm yelling, and all these other guys who are just as drunk, if not more drunk than I was, they're like, dude, you gotta
chill out.
You gotta tone it down. I'm like, I'm so excited. This is so cool. We were like maybe 10 feet off the ground. I thought I was on top of the world. We were gonna hatch a plan. We're gonna go on the 50-yard line, man. That didn't happen either, but so we're up there for a good, I don't know, 20 minutes or so, and we're climbing back down, and like I said, it's like a slope. So you could basically slide down on your butt down onto like this grassy knoll. So I slide down. My buddy Paul slides down, and then Ringo goes to slide down, and we're watching him, and we see right in his slide path, there's this giant hole, like cut out rectangular hole in the roof, and we're standing right over this hole, and we look down, and there's like a good 25-foot drop down to like this gravel area where there's like a service door to get into the ice arena for like the janitors and the grounds crew and things like that. And you know, he's still a good 10, 15 feet away from it. So we're like, Ringo, you got to move or else you're going to hit this hole. And just look at his face. And I could tell that the English language was just not, it was not reading with him at that point. He was just going, aah! And then the next thing I know, Ringo is nowhere to be seen. He falls completely down this hole, down 25 feet. And I don't think the gravity of the situation hit me, like I said, until probably the next morning.
Yeah.
I'm just standing there, And I'm like, I get like a little bit of a chuckle going because it's like Ringo fell down this hole. And then I look down there and I see my friend Ringo and he's
not moving.
Yeah, he's on his back. And that's when I kind of like woke up and sobered up like very quickly. I look at him and he's just not moving, sprawled out like a good 2 to 3 story drop from me.
Wow. That's a lot. That's a long drop.
So I'm looking at the rest of my friends, all the rest of the members of the Beatles, and we don't know what to say. We're speechless.
Yeah, it's like shock. Like, what do we do?
What kind of implicate like Ringo could be dead?
How do you explain?
We're trespassing. Like all this shit's going on. Like who are we gonna call for this?
Yeah, you can't even get in there without falling down the same hole.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if you fall in there, you can't get him out.
So we're like Ringo.
Ringo. Ringo.
He's like, what do you want? No, he didn't say that. But we're like, Ringo, come on. I was seriously worried that he was dead.
Right. Like, it's like, I'm sorry to laugh.
No. It's hilarious. It's so funny.
Because we're yelling Ringo.
So he's laying there motionless, and I'm just trying to figure out what to do. And, you know, 10 minutes go by, and we me and the rest of my friends start yelling at each other because we don't know what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Like, somebody needs to jump down there, which is the worst idea ever, because we would end up just like Ringo.
Yeah.
You know, one of the only live members of the Beatles. So we're like, well, we should call an ambulance, and they'd be like, how would they even get, like, we don't even know. So lo and behold, one of the other kids that I was with had been walking around the premise, and he found, like, this area to go into, and it took him underground right into this hole where we could see him. And he's, like, nudging Ringo. He's like, Ringo, wake up! And all of a sudden, I hear Ringo go, like, you know, like, he's trying to catch his breath. And we're like, oh, my God, he's alive. And we're like, Ringo, you need to move your limbs. And he's like, I'm good, I can move. And then the next thing you said, he was like, how did I get here? So, like, he completely, I mean, obviously, he probably hit his head pretty hard, but, you know, and it's one of those things where this is the most miraculous part. The guy who went down to go find him, he's searching around, and down there was a ladder, like, probably 5 feet away from where he fell, a big ladder. So he sets this ladder up, and he carries Ringo on his back up this ladder, and, like, plops him out over this hole. And he's still like pretty motionless. I mean, he can move and whatnot, but he's
like, he's pretty oblivious. I mean,
he
pain.
He just fell 30 feet. So we're like, trying to, you know, let him get some air and all that. And he finally comes to, and he stands up, and he's like, I think I'm good. And we're like, dude, we told you there was a hole there. He was like, yeah, I was just having fun sliding down that roof. So he fell down and you know, he's like, but he's complaining about how his back hurts. So, like, all right, dude, we got to go to the hospital, like, right now. And he's like, yeah. Well, that was pretty cool, right? What? Yeah, it was pretty
Ringo.
Cool. Yeah, it was pretty cool of you to fall down. Yeah. So we walked over to, like, the student health clinic center, which, of course, was closed. But not before we tried every single door. So at this point, like, I'm thinking it's just a matter of time before this guy's back completely shatters. And he can never move again. So we call an Uber cab. Because we didn't stop to think that there were real cabs in the area that would take us to the hospital.
Yeah.
So we call an Uber cab to take us back to their house.
Oh, first stop is the house.
Yeah. I don't know what we were thinking.
Let's go to the house.
So we call the Uber cab, and we're very gingerly putting our friend into the front seat. And the guy in the Uber cab is like, what happened to your friend? And we're just like, dude.
Long
story. He just like fell down a hole. It's like, do you want to go to the hospital? And we're like, no, we'll have our friend drive there. So we get home and like our friend is completely wasted, like by himself. So we can't have him drive us because obviously.
Oh, wait, somebody was left at the house?
Yeah, I mean, he didn't graduate, so he didn't want to partake. And he had his girlfriend over the house, so it was just, you know,
okay.
It was just one of
those
things.
Yeah, so you go.
Just me and the boys.
So you don't have a ride to the hospital.
So we don't have a ride to the hospital, but I guess his name is Paul in this instance, decides to drive.
Mm-hmm.
So we get in his Jeep, and we drive to the hospital. And we get in there, and this is like Lansing Hospital. So it's like, it's not like a nice, it's a nice hospital, but it gets the job done. Some tight security, you know, like we go through the metal detector. Mm-hmm. It's like, dude, my friend's back is broken. Like he's going to die right now. And we get up to the lady and she's like, all right, what happened? And I'm like, well, my friend like fell 30 feet onto his back.
And you're still trash.
Yeah. And he says he can walk, but I don't want him to walk anymore. And she goes, you're intoxicated, aren't you? And all I was thinking is like, why don't you say that to the guy who fell down? I'm the guy who's trying to help. Like, don't be mad at me. I'm being responsible right now.
I told him there was a hole there.
Yeah. So, you know, we're waiting in the hospital. He gets carted off and they put an IV in him, which has actually worked out really well for him because he wouldn't have a hangover because he got IV right away. The only thing that sucked for him is that he had a broken back. But at this point, we still don't know what's wrong with him.
Yeah.
So we're sitting in the waiting room and there's this really weird guy who's talking to us about how much he hates the police. And I'm kind of, and then there was like another guy in the emergency room who was a cop, like off duty cop. And he was getting kind of mad. I'm not in and out at this point because I'm completely wasted. And like, I fall asleep for a good 15 minutes and then I wake up and that's when I started to vomit. So I wake up and I knew it was coming. So I go outside real quick. And then like, as soon as I got into the parking garage, I just started throwing up everywhere. So I threw up for like, I threw up for like 20 minutes outside and went back inside, fell back asleep again, woke up, had to go throw up again. Still feeling terrible.
Yeah.
And then I come back in and, our friend is being wheeled out in a wheelchair and they're like, He broke four vertebrae in his back. He's gonna be fine, but you know, what were you guys doing?
Oh, you guys never explained?
No, I mean we told him, you know, kind of the gravity of what happened.
Literally,
yeah,
gravity.
You know. But we didn't tell him exactly what happened. Yeah. The funny thing is this kid was a athletic training major.
Yeah.
So when they were examining his back, he was like telling him, he was like, yeah, I think I messed up my C4, like my C5. And the people, like the doctor's just like, just shut up. You don't get to tell me anything intelligent right now.
That's so funny.
But it turns out that he was like right about a couple of his vertebrae. So it's like actually kind of cool.
It kind of helps.
So we get in the car. No one really wants to talk. It's like 6 a.m. at this point. Everyone's like starting to be, everyone's either hungover or still drunk or in my case, like violently sick still.
Yeah.
So everyone's just like, I just want a fucking cheeseburger. So we go to McDonald's drive-thru and like, it was the loudest collective gasp I've ever heard in my life when we get up to the, we get up to the drive-thru and the lady comes on the speaker and she goes, hello, we're only serving breakfast right now. And everyone just goes, oh,
can't even get a burger, man.
Yeah, and so everyone orders, and they're like, Scott, what do you want? And I'm like, just give me one hash brown. I just one.
It's been a long night.
It's been a really long night.
I just want one.
And
hash
I saved
brown.
It. I saved that hash brown until I got home. They dropped me off. I got home. I didn't take any of my clothes off. I just got in my bed. I ate my hash brown, and I passed out immediately. And then I woke up at like 11:30 in the morning, and the first thing I did was throw up that hash brown, which if you've never thrown up a McDonald's hash brown, it's so gross because it comes out in like a million little pieces, and you taste every single one of them. So, I mean, obviously, I had an absolutely horrid day the next day. I couldn't even get out of my bed, which actually probably turned out worse than what my friend Ringo had to deal with because he was like, wasn't hungover.
Yeah.
I mean, he broke his back, but he could still move. He was fine.
Yeah.
So his parents show up the next day and they asked what happened, obviously. And I think they ended up telling him that they were putting up Christmas lights.
Are you kidding me?
And he fell off the roof. And that's what they believe to this day. Wow. But he's fine. I actually haven't seen him since. Poor bastard. I'm gonna throw you off the roof. That was the last I've seen of my friend Ringo.
Thank you, Scott. Thanks for being on the program.
Hey!
That's all for this week. If you enjoyed the show, please go to onecrazystory.podbean.com and catch up on all the shows you may have missed. You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. Also, follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/onecrazystory or facebook.com/onecrazystory. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it.